Hello, and welcome to Insights into Wealth with Bull Wealth. I'm Julian Smith, CEO of Bull Wealth. Today, Randy Gunn, Bull Wealth's client strategist, speaks with Barbara Stewart, one of the leading researchers of women in finance and who is recognized worldwide for her work. Prior to Barbara's current focus, she was a foreign currency trader and a leading portfolio manager with more than 30 years of experience. In today's podcast, Randy and Barbara discuss how women think about investing and how they communicate about their overall investment goals and objectives. In addition, Barbara discusses the dynamics of women with their investment advisors and why it is important to make the financial industry more of a destination of choice for young women entering this sector. Randy and Barbara's conversation is both thoughtful and insightful. As you know, we like to keep it short and simple, so we will leave it to Randy and Barbara to further discuss women in finance.
Barbara, thank you so much for joining me on the call this morning.
My pleasure. Thanks for the opportunity to talk with you.
As you know, today we're going to be talking about women in investing and how they think differently. And I guess the first question I'd like to start with is, do men and women think differently about investing?
They most certainly do, Randy. I've been studying this for several years now. And I think the report that I did in 2017, I did some commissioned research for Danske Bank in the Nordic countries. They asked me to interview 60 of their ultra high net worth female customers over a two-year period to find out what they thought they wanted from their bank. And so I ended up doing all these deep dive one-on-one hour-long interviews and wrote a report called Understanding the Female Customer. And the number one thing I found out through that exercise was that women really do want their investments to resonate with their personal values, and they've got to be engaged emotionally in any investment decision. So one case in point, I ended up quoting a lot of the CEO women that I interviewed in this report. One of them said, banks need to create some emotional value beyond rate of return, offer concrete examples of what a woman can invest in based on her interests. And that was kind of across the board. It was a message loud and clear. It really, for a woman, isn't about earning 3.5% return versus 3.8% return. It's got to be aligning their investments with their values. And that's definitely the language that they understand.
Very interesting. So the emotional side of the discussion becomes really important. Based on your experience, when you were speaking to these women, is there a way they prefer to communicate about money and investing? Or maybe you could provide a little bit more context about that.
I would say, first of all, that women love to share. So they want to have a relationship to the investment and also to the people talking with them about the investment. This is one of the reasons why communities are so key. And back to the Nordic countries, because they really have been front runners in this. I've spent a lot of time there in various investment communities. I was just there for March 8th, International Women's Day, releasing my latest Rich Thinking Report. And there's a community of fund managers, female fund managers there called Cavino Capital. And they're just wonderful. They get everybody at different types of networking events at least once a month. And women just talk together about investing. We're seeing these communities just everywhere all over the world now. And we'll start to see them more and more in North America. To quote another one of the women in that report, an attorney I spoke with, she said, banks and investment firms need to understand that women are networking. And when I have a positive experience, I want to share it with my contacts. Female clients can turn into your ambassadors. I know this for a fact personally, just because I've been doing research on women and money for the last 13 years. And I can tell you that any women that I interview, they turn into my personal marketing department. It's quite something.
That's an amazing gift and certainly a unique way to think about it. As investment advisors, how do you think, because I know you've got a background as an investment advisor too, that we can do a better job of including both spouses in conversations around investments? And why is it important? Because I know in my experience, quite often you'll find that either the husband or the wife may be the driving force behind making the investment decisions. And we've at Bull Wealth think it's important to include both parties. I'm just curious about your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I fully agree for a couple of different reasons. The first being, if you've ever had marriage counseling, anybody out there, you know that a good marriage counselor will meet with the couple, of course, and then that person will also want to meet one-on-one with each individual of the couple. And from there, you can develop a stronger trusting relationship with both spouses. And this applies to same-sex couples as well. Everybody needs to be listened to and to be understood before you can really do a great job investing for them, of course.
I couldn't agree more that anybody that's got an invested interest in the portfolio should be part of the discussion. Based on your research, how do women normally approach learning about the art of investing? Is there any secret sauce that you saw or you came across when you were doing your research?
I did a quantitative survey that was global in 2022, 2,000 high net worth women around the world. And I asked them a bunch of questions because during the pandemic, I had noticed a few trends and I wanted to get some numbers behind the trends that I noticed. And one of the things that I found was that women were starting to talk about investing with their family and friends a lot more. So I asked the question in this survey before March 2020, were you talking about investing with your family and friends? And then after the pandemic, were you talking about more or less that kind of thing? So I'll just share the data that came out of that. Before March 2020, 30% of all age groups talked about investing with their family and friends. And after the pandemic, five times as many talked about it in the 18 to 29 year old category. So that's huge. The young women are really starting to talk about investing, and three times as many in the 30 to 60 year old category. The only category that really didn't budge much was the over 60, because only 7% of them after the pandemic said they'd suddenly started talking about investing with friends and family.
That's very interesting research indeed. Barbara, I'm curious to know if you feel that the world needs more female investment advisors, and if so, why?
I've written about this actually with a colleague in the CFA community, Blair Ducanet. She's in New Orleans. I'll just quote what she said, that she said, women have been interested in aligning their investments with their values for decades, as I talked about earlier, but ESG was just a tiny sliver of the industry's assets under management. And so today, the conversation is around risk management and avoiding not only unsustainable products and services, but unsustainable business models. And I think that both Blair and I talked about this in an article that I wrote for CFA Institute with her, that we're thrilled that female portfolio managers have been really dominating the ESG space, because as more dollars flow to ESG strategies, then the total industry assets managed by women are going to rise along with that. And why do we need more female advisors? Because we know, and many surveys and research reports have shown, that women tend to have skills such as empathy. And also, I see so many great male advisors, but the thing they have in common with the female advisors is that ability to clearly communicate and also to empathize with the person at the other end of the table.
The more balanced you can have across the whole diverse set of factors, your teams, the better they are for sure. Okay, moving on to a related question. We agree that potentially we do certainly need more women in our industry, but how do we do that? So what do you think the investment industry needs to do in order to be a more attractive place for these young women as they come out of university to consider starting their careers?
I wish I had the perfect answer to that, because I know this is a big focus, especially for institutions such as CFA Institute. But I think I would start by looking at who's doing this right. I'll share an example. I was in Las Vegas for a conference a couple of years ago, and I saw this large table of women at a business dinner. And I was so curious to know what they were professionals, obviously, but I wanted to know what profession. Was it just a women's night out, or what was it? So I actually got up the courage to go over to the table and ask them what they were doing. And they said they were all forensic scientists. And I did some research. And in that field of forensic science, 80% of the professionals are women. they said that their role models almost universally came from that TV show CSI. So, you know, they watched these women on TV and then they went into the field of forensic science as a result. So I think based on that, we need to dramatically improve the messaging in the industry and share some great stories about a day in the life of an investment advisor and what the job actually involves and why women are so well suited to the profession. The key skills needed is to communicate clearly and focus on the big picture and have an empathetic nature. And women are totally well suited to that.
I've been fortunate to work with some really good female investment advisors, and I learned a lot from them. Barbara, we've covered off a lot on this call today, and maybe I'm wondering if you want to just take a minute at the end here as we wrap up to kind of outline what are the two or three key points that our listeners should walk away from this conversation with.
Three takeaways. I think number one, really increase the opportunities for women to both network with each other and also to talk about investing. As I said, we're seeing that more and more. Let's just increase it. It works. And women will be your best ambassadors. Point two, I know you do this a lot, Randy, focus more, even more on education. This can be practical education. It takes time to have those conversations, but it's really great. The more educated people are, obviously, the more confident they are and the more interested they are. And the third takeaway, which I didn't actually mention really in this conversation, but I want to say it now as a last point, that rather than just doing retirement planning with women in particular, we need to also do planning around becoming single one day, because as awful as that sounds, we know the numbers on this, and it all adds up to about 90% of women at some point in their life are going to be single.
Barbara, thank you so very much for joining us on the call. I found the discussion to be quite informative, and I'm sure our listeners will as well. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Thanks again to our guest, Barbara Stewart. Insights into Wealth is a Vocal Fry Studios production. Our producer is Sabrina Brathwaite. I'm your host, Julian Smith. If you want to reach out to me, please email me directly, or you may find me on LinkedIn.
Bull Wealth is the corporate group name of Bull Capital Management, Inc. and Bull Wealth Management Group, Inc. Bull Capital Management, Inc. is registered as a portfolio manager in the provinces of Ontario, British Columbia, Alberta, Quebec, and Saskatchewan, an exempt market dealer in the provinces of Ontario, British Columbia, Alberta, and Quebec, and also an investment fund manager in the province of Ontario. The information contained in this podcast is not intended to solicit or to provide research or investment advice to the listeners by Bull Wealth or any of its affiliates. Also, receipt of the podcast by its listeners is not to be taken as constituting solicitation or giving of research or investment advice by Bull Wealth or any of its affiliates. This podcast should not be copied, distributed, published, or reproduced in whole or in part.